Take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 8. If you're using a Bible in front of you, it's page 635. Proverbs 8. As we've mentioned before, it is not easy to outline the book of Proverbs as we've been taking our journey through, but most see at least two major sections in Proverbs. Proverbs 1 to 9, really talking about the value of wisdom. And we are going to finish that first major section today. Then the last major section has a variety of Proverbs on different themes and topics, and we will be taking a look at that a little bit differently over the next several weeks. But the emphasis here is the value of wisdom. Now, typically, we would think that adults should have the most wisdom. They have a lot of experiences in life. But often, it's the children that often have some of the greatest wisdom, or at least we like to hear the wisdom that they have. Patrick, age 10, said, "Never trust a dog to watch your food." It's his words of wisdom. Michael, 14, said, "When your dad is mad and asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' do not answer him." Michael then added, "Don't never tell your mom her diet's not working." Kayo, age 9, said, "Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time." Naomi, 15, said, "If you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse." Lauren, age 9, said, "Felt markers are not good to use as lipstick." Joel, 10 years old, said, "Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat." And finally, Eileen, age 8, said, "Never try to baptize a cat." All good advice, I think. Before we go too far into this today, I want to remind you of our definition of wisdom. There is no perfect definition, but taking into consideration the words that are used for wisdom in Scripture and the context of Scripture, this has been our working definition of wisdom. So you're taking notes this morning. There's an outline there in your bulletin. So let's be reminded and write this down first. Wisdom is to skillfully apply knowledge from God through the power of the Holy Spirit as we follow Jesus. And that brings us this morning to Proverbs chapter 8. Let's begin in verse 1. "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it." In these Proverbs this morning, we have wisdom calling out. So in your outline, we're basically summarizing, if it's wisdom calling, what is it that she's saying? Let's write this down for the first five verses. "My message is for all who will listen." So that's the first thing Lady Wisdom is saying. My message is for everyone, for all who will listen. Two rhetorical questions here that begin. Doesn't wisdom call out? Doesn't understanding raise her voice? The answer to both is yes. Now, in the last few chapters, if you've been with us, Proverbs, we've had a different voice. We've had Lady Folly, the adulterous woman who's trying to seduce the young man. She was crying out from everywhere that people could hear. Now you have Lady Wisdom doing the same thing, and yet her message certainly is much different. And what she's really going to ask the question we're going to ask at the end this morning as well, is you have a decision to make. You have a couple different paths you can go down. So which is it going to be? Where are you going to invest your life? Which path are you going to travel down? So she cries out here in verse 4 to everyone who will listen. In verse 5, she calls out to the simple. And so far we have found the simple to be those who are naive, those who do not have as much understanding or experience. They could easily find themselves in the way of the fool. But there's hope for the simple person. So that's why she's calling out to them. And to the foolish, she says, she challenges them, set their hearts on it, literally, to instruct their minds. The foolish have to turn around. The foolish have to understand the truth, and they have to repent and start heading down the other path of wisdom. So Lady Wisdom continues her public speech, verse 6. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Let's write this down. Next, from Lady Wisdom. I can be trusted. She describes what she has to say with several words. Trustworthy, excellent. She speaks what is right. She speaks what is true. Because unlike the adulterous woman, the woman of folly, her words will take you down the right path. She's not being secretive that ends in destruction. She's not being deceptive. She is telling you the truth. The discerning person's going to get it. The discerning person's going to know the difference between what is true and what is not, what is wise and what is foolish. And those who are pursuing this wisdom are going to find true knowledge. So here's the difference. Wisdom is going to tell you how it really is. The foolish voice is going to twist the truth. Wisdom is going to tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. According to Proverbs 24:24, the fool tells the guilty, you're innocent. But wisdom tells the truth. So the person who fears God, the person who's pursuing wisdom, is going to recognize what is true and what is not. They're going to focus on the value of what she has to say, and they're going to pursue that with all of their hearts. Let's continue her words here in verse 10. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can desire can compare with her. Remember, we're talking about the value of wisdom in all of these Proverbs. So here's the next thing to write down that she is saying, and this will take us through verse 21. I bring the greatest rewards. People are looking for, well, what is this going to bring me if I devote myself to this? And Lady Wisdom says, I have the greatest rewards to offer. Given the choice between digging for gold and silver or digging for knowledge and wisdom, which do human beings typically choose? We typically go after the gold and silver, right? That's our typical choice. So wisdom knows this. So she tells us the truth. Digging for me, pursuing me more than gold and silver is going to be more valuable for you. Because it's not just about this life. In fact, if you have any gold or silver, if you have any material things, you need wisdom to know how to be a great steward of those things. What is it that you're going to pursue? Heinrich Schliemann, as a boy, read a translation of Homer's account of the defeat of Troy by the Greeks. And later he had read that the scholars had said that Homer's Iliad was entirely fictitious. Ancient Troy never existed. It was an unlikely story to make a point. So Schliemann vowed, here's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to make as much money as possible, and then I'm going to use that money to be able to search for ancient Troy and other cities. So that's what he did. He spent his first part of his life making as much money as he could, and then the rest of his life trying to pursue his dream of finding Troy. So with the permission of the Turkish government, he was able to go to the site where his research had showed him that it had been located. And ironically, he found not just one ancient city of Troy, but several ancient cities, the ruins built on top of one another, as is typical the case, including in Israel. And one day, from his excavations of Troy, he found a small casket that was discovered that contained a set of exquisite jewels. So he adorns them around his young wife, Sophia, and she's frequently pictured in the early days of photography wearing these, thinking these might be from the famed Helen of Troy. What was the point of what he was doing? The point was that all his life, after he hears this story, was all about one thing. I want to find this place and I want to use all of my riches to be able to find it and to prove that it exists. His whole life, everything that he had, all the silver and gold that he had amassed was all about this one pursuit. And it reminds me that all of us have to answer that question. We're going to spend our lives pursuing something. Most of us are tempted to spend our lives pursuing what everybody else seems to be pursuing. Silver and gold, whatever we're going to enjoy in this life, whatever we can pass down to our family. And wisdom is calling out and saying, before you spend the rest of your life down that path, consider the value of pursuing wisdom. I have the greatest rewards, she says. And wisdom is valuable to everyone, available to everyone who's willing to make it a priority to go after that. There's other things that come with wisdom. Look at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles all who rule on earth. Did you ever wonder, where does Lady Wisdom live? Who are her roommates? And so she shares here the answer to those questions. She lives with prudence. Prudence could be defined as good sense, good judgment. And her best friends are discretion and knowledge. In other words, if these are some of the things that you want, you can't have those without pursuing wisdom. You pursue wisdom, and you're going to find good sense. You're going to find good judgment. You're going to find knowledge and discretion. All of these things are a package deal that come with wisdom. These are some of the benefits and rewards. And she lays it out pretty clearly here. To fear the Lord, she says, that's been one of the themes here in Proverbs, is to hate evil. Now, we often question and struggle with, what does it really mean to fear the Lord? And Lady Wisdom at least gives us one very practical focus of what that means. Hate evil. She says, I hate pride, I hate arrogance, I hate evil behavior, I hate perverse speech. Another way to put this would be, we need to hate what God hates. Okay, well, we know God's a loving God. So what in the world does God hate? Well, you might remember that from last week. We actually had a partial list of that back here in Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. I guess we have it up here for you, too. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Now remember, we're not talking about hating people. But if we refuse to hate what God hates, we cannot have the fullness of wisdom. When we hate those things, we recognize them not only in other people, we recognize them in ourselves. And then we gather together to be able to fear the Lord, to help each other fear the Lord by hating what is evil, even as we see it. Well, that's what wisdom hates. What does wisdom love? We see that beginning in verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. Lady Wisdom says, I love those who love me. Those who seek me will find me. So we hate evil, we love wisdom, and we go after her with all of our heart. She is our greatest love. That's the idea here. Wisdom is saying, you have to pursue me with your whole heart. What wisdom has, of course, cannot be purchased with cash or credit. When you find her, though, it says you will also find riches and honor, wealth, and prosperity. Okay, so wait a second. What are you saying? If I pursue wisdom, if I give God something, he's going to give me more? That the real way to find true riches is I follow God and then I'm rich? No. What's the prosperity that he's talking about? What when Lady of Wisdom says, I will make you rich, I will give you honor and prosperity. Well, the word prosperity here actually literally means righteousness. That's the riches that are promised you. Not just to be seen rightly by God, because every follower of Jesus is seen rightly by God, but to actually live rightly before God. And that's the gift. That's greater than gold or silver. To know what God has asked you to do and to be able to live rightly before him, wisdom offers you that. But you can't live rightly without wisdom. And so that's why she says, give everything you have to be able to get wisdom. Now, remembering that Proverbs is not a list of promises that always takes place, we pursue wisdom. We may not receive honor in this life. We may not receive all the things that God has for us in this life. That's why we remember this is about eternity. Living now for what is to come. Verse 22. The Lord brought me forth, this is Lady Wisdom speaking, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place. Before the hills, I was given birth. Verse 26. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundary so the waters could not overstep his command. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Verse 30, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Let's write this down. This will take us through this section here through verse 31. Lady Wisdom says, you can see me in all of creation. Wisdom lets us know that she has been around since the beginning, throughout the process. And her main point goes back to this. Everything goes back to wisdom. All of creation is set on wisdom. Look around you. And you see wisdom. It all goes back to me. In the commentary, Christ-Centered Exposition of Proverbs, here's what the authors wrote. Wisdom is the only begotten child of God. We see this description of wisdom can no longer be seen just as a poetic device. The description is too lofty. It's too much like Jesus. This doesn't mean Jesus was created. It means that he is supreme over the creation. Now, we've already learned that Jesus is wisdom. According to Scripture, we cannot miss that ultimately, this is about a relationship. That's what we've talked about from the beginning. This is about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the ultimate personification of wisdom is Jesus. So you cannot pursue wisdom without pursuing Jesus, because that's what wisdom is. Thousands of years ago, when Solomon wrote this, he's saying, you cannot relate to creation without relating to wisdom. Today we'd say the same thing. And we would say, you cannot relate to God. You cannot know God unless you relate to wisdom. So wisdom says, you want to see me? Look around at God's awesome creation. Verse 32. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. Let's write this down for your notes. She is saying you must make this all-important decision. She is giving us a choice and saying this is a pretty important decision you've got to make about wisdom. Now, we can relate to this idea of blessed or being blessed, the idea of being happy. Think about as a child or as a parent for your children, as a grandparent for your grandchildren. It begins with talking about, you know, we want a happy baby. That seems to be the desire. We want a happy baby. And if it's a happy baby, we're really thrilled with that. As they grow a little older and they're in elementary ages, we want the child to be well-developed and growing and happy as well. They become teenagers, and may we pray just a little bit more for them, and we say we want them to be well-developed and balanced and learning to be on their own. We want them to enjoy life and all the blessings God's given them. And someone gets married, and we wish them all the happiness in the world. The idea of wanting happiness is a normal thing, and the Scripture speaks to that. In fact, we as Americans feel like it's our right. Just thinking about the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, we have that up here. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we know all too well that as we pursue happiness, if we're not pursuing it down the right path, we try to do it through pleasing ourselves, we don't find true happiness. That happiness is like a vapor. But there is happiness here. This word blessed means happy. Blessed are those who keep my ways, Lady Wisdom says. You want true happiness? You want to pass on true happiness to your children and grandchildren? It begins with a relationship with me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Happy are those who keep my ways. And she gives us the only path to true happiness. Here's the formula that we just read. Listen to wisdom. Keep the ways of wisdom. Listen to instruction and be wise. Listen to me, wisdom says. Watch at my doors. Wait at my doorway. So for all ages of children and adults looking for happiness, it is only found through God's wisdom in Jesus Christ. A truly happy person knows Christ and is pursuing wisdom for their life. The person has learned through wisdom, or maybe even learned the hard way. Happiness cannot be found anywhere else. It cannot be found in selfish living. And those, as Lady Wisdom says, those who have tried to love themselves and find happiness that way have brought themselves harm. So, we follow Christ. We point others to sacrifice everything they have to do the same. So what does happiness look like this week? Well, true happiness looks like if you pursue Christ. Spend time with Him. Pray. Study Scripture. Try to live out what He is teaching you. That's really where true happiness is going to be found even today. Much more valuable than if I can just find a way to make some more money this week. That's the message of Lady Wisdom. And when the difficult time comes, because, again, the promises here are general promises. It doesn't mean everything is going to go well for us, right? We might have a very difficult week coming up. Some suffering that might come, as we sang earlier. But when you're pursuing wisdom through Christ, even in the deepest, darkest suffering, there is peace and joy that comes through wisdom. Let's continue here. Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She set up its seven pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." Let's write this down for Lady Wisdom's next words. I invite you to a banquet of wisdom. Wisdom's house here is pretty spacious, causes some people to think maybe she might even be talking about a temple. She's prepared a banquet. She sent her servants out. Go to the places where the most people can hear you. And here's the invitation. Let all who are simple come to my house. If they come, they will gain wisdom. They will gain sense and discretion. But it also means they're going to have to leave the banquet and the house they've been at, the people they've been listening to be able to come. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, Be Skillful, wrote this. Note that they are inviting one class of people, according to verse 4, the simple. Wisdom's first call was to the simple, the scorners, and the fools, Proverbs 1:22. The scorners laughed at her, so in her second call, in chapter 8, verse 5, she invited only the simple and the fools. But the fools didn't want God's wisdom. So in this third call, she invites only the simple ones to come to her feast. It is a dangerous thing to reject God's invitation. You never know when it may be your last one. So what happens, though, when this simple man chooses that he's going to go to the banquet of wisdom at her house? He's got to leave the foolishness he's been listening to. He's got to leave the people who have been telling him one thing and twisting things and leading him down the wrong path. And that's not easy. We find out how difficult it is. Look at verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Let's write this down. Your actions will reveal your answer to the invitation. We'll see this through verse 12. Your actions will reveal your answer to wisdom's invitation. A mocker, a scoffer, is not open to wisdom. When you try to give wisdom to a mocker, you get insulted. If you rebuke them for unwise living or sinful practices, they will come after you. So the admonition is, don't rebuke them, or they'll actually hate you. In contrast, give wisdom to a wise person, and they're going to love you. Rebuke them. Show them where they've gone off the path. Because they're wise and they want wisdom, and they don't think they have it all figured out already, they're going to love you for that. Now, sometimes you're not really going to know that until you try to rebuke a person. Then you find out whether they are a scoffer or whether they are wise. And sometimes a wise person, typically a wise person, is going to fail at responding the right way. But again, you can have wisdom to know the difference. That reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Jesus said, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." So he gives this very kind of graphic picture, an illustration. But then look at what Jesus did. He was kind, he was loving, and he was gentle. But he didn't spend a whole lot of time trying to convince the people who thought they were good that they were wrong. He didn't spend a whole lot of time. He called them some names, but when it came to the religious people, he said, "Don't waste your time. They're just going to attack you. They're going to insult you. Instead, spend your time with the people who seem to know that they're in need. The people who are willing to listen. The people who are willing to dialogue. The people who are willing for you to even share with them, hey, there's a better path than the one you're headed down." Jesus didn't waste his breath. He didn't waste his time. And wisdom says, spend your time with those who you find to be wise, who want you to rebuke them, who want you to set them back on the right path. Here's what the fools do. Here's what the wise do. Look at verse 9. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. So the wise person is always going to be a learner. The wise person never says, I've got this all figured out. You don't need to teach me anything. The wise person says, I need to learn. I need to grow. Show me where I'm going off the path. And they're going to love you for that. And here it is, the fear of the Lord again, right? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is a different word than is actually used in chapter 1, verse 7, where we learned the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There it was, this is the start. Here, it's this is the prerequisite. Do you want wisdom? You can't have it until you fear the Lord. Now, we've talked about the fear of the Lord over several weeks. You can go back to get more of that. We talked about it being hating evil. That's one of the aspects of it. But it's really coming to God. Practically, the only way to get wisdom and the only way to fear the Lord is I come to God humbly, submissive, and willing to obey. That no matter what the Word of God says, I'm willing to do it. That's really where the fear of the Lord is. And that's a prerequisite if you want the wisdom that is so valuable. Let's continue here, verse 13. Folly is an unruly woman. She's simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Again, this is about relationships. And as Lady Wisdom promises these promises here of honor and long life, we again remember that these are the principles that we follow, and that there's much more than just to the physical aspects of these things. But if you do not follow wisdom, if you follow folly instead, you go down the path of destruction. So let's write down one more thing. Reject, this is Lady Wisdom speaking, reject folly's invitation. Lady Wisdom gave an invitation. Hey, come to my house, come to this banquet of wisdom. Well, Lady Folly, the adulterous woman, also has an invitation. She's also at where the paths meet. She's also at the places where everyone can hear. She's also speaking to the simple. Come to my house instead. My banquet's better than her banquet. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. It's going to be much more exciting if you come to my house. We're going to break the rules a little bit, but that's okay. It's a lot more fun at my house. Now, this is the call not just of sexual sin. This is really of any sin. The voice of folly calling out, hey, you're going to enjoy this a lot more. This is not so restrictive over here. This is going to be a lot of freedom and a lot of fun and a lot of enjoyment if you'll just come this direction. No one's going to find out. And for those who are simple, it does sound really good. But the results, as the scriptures keep telling us, as wisdom keeps telling us, leads down this wide, destructive path. True story, the simple young man named Benjamin Solomon Carson testified in an interview, and I want to read you a little bit of his testimony. I had a very explosive temper. When I was 14, I actually tried to stab another youngster, he says. He had a large metal belt buckle on, and the knife blade struck with such force that it broke. And I was horrified. I was actually trying to kill someone. I locked myself in the bathroom, and I just started contemplating my life. I had been a horrible student, but I had turned things around. I was an A student at that point, but I realized I would never become a doctor with a temper like that. I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, you've got to help me. If you do not change this temper of mine, I'm doomed. I tried all kinds of ways of controlling it and nothing seemed to work. But I picked up the Bible opened it to the book of Proverbs, and there were all these verses about anger. Like Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. And encouraging verses like Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than one who takes a city. Verse after verse, they all seemed that they were written about me. They were all these verses about fools, and they seemed to be written about me too. And I came to a realization during the 3 hours I was in that bathroom that to lash out at people, to call people names, to punch somebody was not a sign of strength. Rather, it was a sign of weakness. When you're overcome with anger, you can easily be manipulated by people and by situations. And that was the very last day I had that problem. From that day forward until this day, I start and end every day reading from the book of Proverbs, and I think there's an enormous amount of wisdom there. That man that was interviewed by Bible Study Magazine is better known maybe just simply as Ben Carson, a well-known neurosurgeon and one of the Republican presidential nominees in 2016, now serving as the U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. So at a point in this young man's life, wisdom called out, here's the path you're headed down. Here's the destruction that can happen. And Ben had to make a choice. And by God's grace, reading the book of Proverbs, he made the right choice and has had all the blessings that come with that. So the same choice comes to us. It really is a daily choice. Yes, you have to make a choice at one particular point in your life that I'm going to follow wisdom because I'm going to trust in and follow Christ. But every day, you do have a choice to make because those two voices are crying out to you. Lady Wisdom is saying, remember what's important. I know it's hard, but submit to me. Submit to God's word. Do the hard thing. And Lady Folly is saying, I've got a much easier way for you to live your life today. Something you're really going to enjoy if you come this direction. And you have to make a choice. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come up to prepare for our final song. I'm going to ask you to stand and just spend a moment considering what we've looked at this morning in these two Proverbs, these two chapters. We've been looking for the last several weeks in these first nine Proverbs about the value of wisdom. And we're reminded today, without wisdom, you cannot have all these other things that are valuable. Without wisdom, you cannot fear the Lord. You cannot really know him and have the eternal benefits that come with that. It's easy for us standing right here. We follow Christ, we believe in God. Of course I'm going to choose wisdom. But let's remember, wisdom is, although it's the straight path, it's the narrow path, it's the harder path. The choices you have to make each day are really difficult if you're going to choose wisdom. So you have to make a decision. And there's probably something going on in each of your lives right now that fit right into that. Just let God kind of bring that to your mind, may not be too difficult, where you've got to choose the path you're going to take. And I would also say that that's why God has given us each other. That there's got to be someone else in your life that you know is heading down the path of wisdom. And you can share with them that decision you're trying to make, that the difficulty you're finding. And we come alongside each other and we pray for one another and encourage one another as we walk down that path together. Just take a moment to pray silently, and then we will close as we sing.